So, in the first lesson, we learned what stereotype threat was, how it reduces performance of people when they're aware of a negative stereotype about people like themselves, about their group. This, we're going to talk about ways to combat each of these three components of the cause: awareness, the negativity of stereotypes, and the relationship students have with them. So let's dive in first with awareness. How can we reduce awareness of stereotypes? Well, the first thing to do is don't bring it up. Okay? Don't mention to people that they're an unusual group. Ooh, I haven't seen many people of your race or gender or social class or whatever it is. Don't bring it up. Right? You'll notice in this whole week, I'm going to try to avoid mentioning specific stereotypes. I'm assuming you're aware of stereotypes about our field. If you're not, huzzah, isn't that nice? But there are stereotypes about race and gender in particular. But mentioning the specifics of them can cause people to be more aware of them. And so something I'm generally going to try to avoid. There's sort of secondary ways of bringing this up as well. In English, pronouns are a big problem. We don't really have pronouns for people that don't have a gender associated with them. They is starting to make some progress into this space, but still he and she remain the two main ones. And picking either of those, whatever you pick, will cause people to think about gender, and there are gender stereotypes in our field. So using pronouns and actually names too. Names tend to suggest not only gender, but also race and ethnicity and so forth. Now, you should use the appropriate pronouns and names of the people you're directly interacting with, the students themselves. But when you're making up an example, you want to try to avoid this. You don't want to create this or cause students to think about this. So it may feel a little awkward, but it's worth thinking about calling people by their roles or by variables, right? So you might say an example about the student and the teacher, or about person A and person B. But after you introduce those labels, you have to keep using them. Because if you first say person A and then later on you slip up and use a pronoun, you have the chance of causing them to think more about these aspects than they would otherwise. Another thing that you should think about when you don't bring it up is you shouldn't bring it up even for good. A classic problem that can occur here is when a teacher will say something like, "So-and-so got the high score on the test, and they are," and then identify them as belonging to some minority group or underserved group, a group that doesn't tend to do as well according to the stereotype. This communicates a very strong awareness of the stereotype. Even if it conveys a disbelief in it or counter evidence to it, it still brings a strong understanding that you're aware of it. And so something to try to avoid in general where you can. Another thing to avoid is doing too much sort of group-specific culture. Okay? So depending on your background and the people you tend to associate with, and even just what stereotype says you should consume in entertainment and so on, you're likely to be far more familiar with some forms of entertainment, some historical events, and so forth, than other kinds. And if somebody brings up something that fits in the stereotypically majority group in computing, but doesn't fit in what their group has had a high exposure to growing up, it's going to create their sense of, "I don't really belong. Oh dear, I'm not in the in group." Try to avoid this. You should even do this if they're your own hobbies. Suppose you just love something that belongs to a stereotypically majority group in your field. You still shouldn't bring it up when you're at work. Leave it at home. There are things I love doing, and I really believe would help people if they did, that are sort of in this hobbies kind of space. But I don't bring them up when I am dealing in computing because I'm aware that they're correlated with some other stereotype about computing that I don't need students or anybody else to be thinking about. Okay? So try to reduce awareness of the stereotype. How about the negativity of the stereotype? How can we reduce the negativity of the stereotype? We're going to start with something you should not do that many of you will assume and think of first. You should not myth bust. Myth busting is the process of bringing up a stereotype for the purpose of showing it's false. It's a very common thing to do to try to reduce negative stereotypes. However, this can have exactly the opposite consequence of what we want if we're trying to support students. Let's consider an example. Let's suppose that you are about to go take a swim test. We're going to measure how quickly you can swim across a swimming pool. And before you do it, I were to say, now, I know you've all heard that people with small feet can't swim well, but it's not true. We've done hundreds of studies, and people with small feet, people with big feet, they swim equally well. There's no truth to this stereotype. What I have done is I have said that most people believe the stereotype, but I don't. How do you know I've communicated that? Well, your subconscious recognizes I said I did hundreds of studies to show something wasn't true. Why would I do hundreds of studies to show something wasn't true unless most people believed in it and needed a lot of evidence? Okay? This may be useful if I were trying to convince people of this fact, possibly. But this is going to create a strong awareness of a stereotype and a strong awareness that the stereotype is a negative stereotype. I am trying to show you positive things by working against the stereotype. So while it may cause people not to believe the stereotype, remember, belief is not important for stereotype threat. Merely awareness of the negative stereotype is. And so myth-busting is directly counterproductive in the process of reducing stereotype threat. So what should you do instead? If you can't tell people the stereotype is false, how are you going to reduce the negativity of the stereotype? I recommend, and this is not something I can point to a lot of papers that suggest work, but it seems to work in a few that have mentioned it, and I've found it works pretty well in my life, to express surprise. Not surprise that the stereotype exists, don't pretend to not know things you do know, but surprise that anybody would bring it up or suggest it's true, right? When somebody raises a stereotype, perhaps to explain why they aren't very good at something or to point out why somebody else isn't or the like, however it shows up, it's useful to express surprise that anybody would believe that. Like, what does that have to do with anything? That's unrelated to what we're handling. That can effectively convey that I am in a group that doesn't believe the stereotype, and I assume other educated students at this university won't believe it either. Can be a useful way of reducing that size of the pool with a stereotype, suggesting I primarily associate people that don't believe it. Much better approach here. Now, it's worth noting that there is sort of a tricky balancing act to do here. We do want to tell people stereotypes are false. We want them to understand that if they currently think they're true. But we don't want to bring them up to do that. We want to express surprise when people bring them up, but we don't want to make them feel like fools for believing what culture has told them. This is all quite tricky. That was actually quite tricky back here with awareness, too. We don't want to bring up these stereotypes, but when people are in an underserved population, providing them some support and camaraderie can be very useful. None of these things are quite transparent, quite as simple as they seem. But for the purpose of stereotype threat, right? It's better to handle it this way than the other. The other thing that I want to think about in the negativity of stereotypes is think about people as individuals, not as members of groups. What do I mean by this? I don't mean that you deny people are part of groups, tell them they aren't or the like, but as you get to know them as a person, they're more likely to think about you thinking of them as a person, as a representative of the staff of your course, rather than as a member of a group. So get to know their names and call them by their name. We said don't use names, but that's in examples. Do use the names of your students. Get to know how they like to be referred to. Just generally, get to know them. It is worth the time and energy to ask a few questions, to appear personal, to share a little bit about yourself that doesn't trigger stereotypes, to help them feel like you know them as a person, recognize them as a person, value them as an individual, and are not thinking of them as part of a group. In doing this, beware of asking about the group. Okay? This is not a good idea in general. Right? When I'm getting to know somebody, I shouldn't say, oh, you're from an unusual group. Tell me more about that group if there's a negative stereotype about that group. If there's not a negative stereotype about that group, this could be a fine thing to do. But in general, try to stay away from group kind of things and focus on individual kind of things. Help them believe that they are, as they really are, an individual who are valued in our community. And their group memberships are less important. Now, none of these will create big changes in the overall stereotypes in the world at large, but as many people do them, we can try to erode the actual stereotype. But we can also help separate people from this belief there's a negative stereotype about them in their class. The last one I want to talk about is talking about things being about them. So if they're aware of a negative stereotype, but it doesn't seem like it relates to them, there's not going to be a stereotype threat. The thing you shouldn't do that's related to here is the I don't see problem. Frequently, people who are trying to express that they're above or beyond stereotypes, that stereotypes don't apply in the case, will say something like, oh, I don't see characteristic. This is quite insulting. It's like telling somebody that a portion of their identity, just you can't tell. Imagine if you were in some party and somebody says, oh, what's your major? And you say computer science, like, oh, I don't see computer scientists. Tell me something else about you. What do you mean you don't see computer scientists, right? So don't try to tell people that it doesn't apply. Don't tell them they aren't a member of the group. Don't ignore it if they volunteer it, okay? But don't bring it up, right, as we talked about earlier. However, what you can do, which can be very useful, is to focus on some positive stereotype identities. Everybody has multiple identities. They belong to multiple groups. This is true of every person in the world. And your students will belong to a lot of them, but amongst those they will belong to are things like student, scholar, the university that we attend, or UVA student, right? We can pull on some of these positive identities. We can talk about a computer scientist, or a future computer scientist, whatever you want to do there, right? All of these things can be positive identities to try to build on, to talk about, to refer to people as. You don't need to be particularly over the board about this, but just talking about, you know, students have this challenge, students have this success, because you're a UVA, you've learned a lot, right? These kinds of things can help them key off of that. When we're trying to build identity, identity does not come as a first step. Joanne Cahoon, who's faculty here before her untimely death, was working at the time of her death on a study about how identity was being built. And one of the things she commented about this was that you start with interest. If you're interested in something, that needs to come first. Then you build some sense of confidence in that thing. After you have some confidence that you can perform, then you can start to feel like you belong, that you aren't a foreigner or an imposter where you are. And once you start having a sense of belonging, then you can start building identity, right? And in general, we have to move in this path. So one thing I would encourage you to do in each of your interactions with students, whatever their background, whether there's a stereotype of operating against them or not, to try to evaluate, see where they sit. Are they interested in your course? If not, what can you do to make it more interesting, to help them see how it relates to them? If they're already interested, do they have confidence they can succeed? If they don't have this confidence, what can you do to build that? How can you point to their past successes? Can you talk about your own struggles and where you are now? What can you do to build that confidence? If they have confidence and interest, do they feel like they belong in the space of computer scientists, of UVA graduates? Do they feel a belonging? And if not, what can you do to help them feel like they belong? How can you help them see themselves as similar to others in there? And if they have that sense of belonging, what can you do to help them make this part of who they identify themselves as? I am a computer scientist. I am a scholar. I am an academic, whatever it may be. How can you help them relate? It can take a lot of time and energy to learn how to do this well, but these are things you can think about. One last thing in this that's worth knowing: imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is the phenomena where even experts in a field, will feel like they are imposters in their own field. It applies to all kinds of people in every field will have imposter syndrome. It tends to be more explicit when people are in a stereotypically negative group because they have more culture telling them they don't belong. But it isn't limited to that group. All kinds of people feel this. And part of what you want to communicate is you want to build a sense of identity, is you don't have to feel like you belong at every moment of the day to belong, to have that be part of your identity. If you personally, as a TA, have experienced a little imposter syndrome, you might want to mention this to your students if it's an appropriate time. I'm not asking you to share it with everybody, but this may be occasionally useful. But it can actually be more useful to point to larger examples and just talk about this idea as a whole. Those moments of feeling like we don't belong, like we don't measure up, that's something everybody experiences. And that's a useful thing for people to understand. So, what do we have? We can reduce awareness by not bringing it up, by not raising it intentionally or accidentally, by not bringing up the group themselves, by not bringing up things that reference the group, like group-specific culture hobbies. To reduce the negativity, the main thing to do is to not myth-bust. Instead of telling people that bringing it up to say it's false, instead express surprise that people will believe it first. And think about people as individuals. Treat them as individuals. Help them believe that you know them as an individual instead of merely as a representative of their group. When thinking about how it relates to them, don't tell them that they aren't part of a group. Don't tell them you can't see them as part of the group. But instead, help them key off some of their positive identities. The identity of a student, the identity of a future computer scientist. These identities are identities that can help them, that are built from confidence through interests, confidence, belonging, and identity. And occasionally it can be worth mentioning that everybody occasionally feels a little imposter syndrome. That's not a problem, it's part of human nature. Together, these can help reduce all three, I hope, of these different experiences. These are not the only things we can do to reduce stereotype threat. We'll talk about some others in some future videos. But these are some things to think about as you are attempting to reduce it.